Hello, this is a Football Fans Podcast, the world's longest running football fans podcast, and it's produced and created by the people behind CelticUnderground.net. So, a couple of things. First of all, this is going to be a bit of a different podcast. I'm going to record the proper one on Monday. And it is Neil Lennon's pre-Hibs game chat and interview. It's about 10-12 minutes of Lenny. Then I will just have a wee bit more of a chat about the departure of Brendan Rodgers and my infamous podcast with By The Men Celtic guys. So, first up, here is new Celtic manager Neil Lennon.
The last couple of days been with the players?
Well, I mean, the team that played obviously on Wednesday just had a recovery day yesterday, so it was a good chance to see some of the other squad players. Just did a bit of training yesterday, and then obviously we've gone through preparations for tomorrow this morning, so great, yeah, getting the hang of it a little bit more.
It's a massive game tomorrow for them.
It is, yeah. It's another cup game. They've handled the cup games fantastically well over the last couple of years, and tomorrow's no different, and we know, and I know personally how good Hibs are.
Yeah, for you as well, going back to Easter Road, just your second game back at Celtic.
Yeah, but again, like I said on Tuesday or Wednesday at the press, it's not about me. I'm working for the players and with the players. There might be a few subplots, you know, regarding me going back, but it's not the major issue here for me. The major issue is for me to help negotiate a very, very difficult cup tie for us and get to the semi-finals.
You've only been on a few days. Have you changed anything at all?
Nothing. And that's where John and Damien are, and Stevie Woods are very, very important to me, and the backroom staff. You've been brilliant. So you just keep the players happy. You know, it was a great result and a lot of emotion again, you know, after Wednesday night, so we have to balance that and make sure they've come down again and ready for another really electric atmosphere and tough game.
Is that just a consequence of the hectic schedule that you've had, that you can't sort of put your own stamp on it quite yet? Just you've not had a session in order to do it?
Yeah, but what is my stamp? You know, I like to win games, I like them to play good football, and that's what Brendan's been doing here for 2.5 years, so I don't think my approach would be a lot different from Brendan's, really.
Is it an easy task in that sense when, you know?
No, this job's not easy. This job's not easy, and like I said the other day, I've got big shoes to fill as well, so that in itself is a big task.
But I mean, is it easier than if you're coming in, you have to pick up the pieces of a manager's left because he's been sacked or pushed out? But
it can work both ways. You know, if you look at what Ollie's done at Man United, you know, it wasn't difficult to, well, I mean, from the outside looking in, players needed a new voice, and you know, the results have been speaks for themselves. I've come in where the team is going well, so different circumstances, and you don't want to disrupt that as much as possible, and keep the flow and the atmosphere the same.
In terms of the cup run, you spoke about that. I mean, I think it's like 23-24 cup game wins in a row. Does that give you any added pressure going into tomorrow's game? That's
no, I mean, it's a cup tie, it's a one-off game, so the pressure's the same. You know, we know we'll have to perform, and perform at a really high level to win away from home, because it'll be a big game for Hibs as well, their players.
I know you say it's not about you tomorrow, but do you expect any kind of special reception, any other normal than you usually get when you go out to something like Easter Road tomorrow?
I think I'll get a better one than I got on Wednesday night, anyway. So yeah, it'll be a bit surreal going back so early, but I'm ready for it, I'm prepared for it, and you know, I'm very familiar as you can be with the club as Celtic. So there's a lot of familiar faces around the place, and I know the backdrop of what's required.
Could there be any bitterness in your part going back then?
No, not at all. No, far from it. I don't look better, do you?
Neil, do you take comfort from the fact that when you did leave Hibs, the Hibs fans were very much on your side when you did go?
Yeah, well, look, we feel we did a good job. You know, and when I took over, Hibs were in the Championship. And a lot of people raised eyebrows as to, you know, why I would do that. But I saw, you know, real potential there. And we sort of fulfilled the potential. I had a brilliant season last year. You know, played superb football. and things went a little bit dry for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. But, you know, Paul's come in and sort of, he's won 3 out of 3, can't do any more, and the players are playing well. So we're going to come up against a very confident team tomorrow.
In any way, do you think it might be an awkward situation if you had passed word to cross with Leanne?
No idea. Well, I don't think her pass will cross anyway. I'll be in the dugout, and I'd imagine she'll be in the director's box.
Yeah. Well, but given the difficult few days the players had in the run-up to the game against Hearts, and given that you've got a relatively short period of time now with the players until the end of the season, the kind of the manner of that win the other night, how important was that just for even this run-up?
Well, the manner of it was fantastic, you know, because they kept going, and it was a massive win against a really tough opponent away from home. It's one of the toughest grounds in Scotland to get a result. So psychologically, it's brilliant. But these guys create a lot of good moments, you know, throughout seasons, and have done over the past whatever length of time. So it's just another one, another win for them. And it's not easy winning games. They've ticked that one off, and I think they're ready to go again. It's been emotional for them, really emotional. It's been difficult for them. You know, sometimes Brendan's here one day and then he's gone the next, and it's a huge void, because he's a mentor to them, he's a voice for them, you know, almost for some of the young ones a father figure. And when you lose that, you know, there is a loss there, there's no question of that. And it's just my rule to try and fill it as best I can and keep them going.
It's been a breathless start with the way that you came in, and even the manner of the victory, though, I suppose that's the way it always is here. There's always these sort of highs and lows that come at you so quick.
Yeah, there's no grey areas, you know, so great. We got off to a great start, we got the high, there's nothing like it, you know. Forgot how good that felt, but you know, you just keep it on an even keel. It could all go, it could all turn around very, very quickly. I'm well aware of that. So I enjoyed Wednesday. I was back in yesterday and ready to go again, and it's a fantastic opportunity for me personally.
Yeah, did you prefer that having that cut and thrust, you know, put upon you so quickly, and you know,
yeah, because you don't have time to think about it, you know, so you react instinctively and spontaneously, and sometimes it worked better that way anyway.
Neil, you spoke there about the emotion for some of the players of Brendan leaving, so there's been a lot going on in the last few days. Were you surprised that he didn't say goodbye to the players?
No, because he may not have had the chance to do that. You know, these things happen very, very quickly. I've done it myself at times, and I'm sure when he has time, I'm sure it's very hectic for Brendan as well, you know, as it has been for me. So I'm sure when things settle down for him, he'll be back in touch, because I know he had a fantastic relationship with the players here.
Are any little things, I know you say you haven't made any changes yet, but it's all about fine margins, and different managers have different styles. Are any little things around this place you've seen that you think you might change at some point?
Not really. I mean, the organisation here, it's just evolved so well over the last 4.5 years since I've been away. So there's some great sort of tools here for me to use that I didn't have before. And the support staff are excellent, you know, top class. And that's the foundations that Brendan has built here. And it's a learning curve for me in that aspect as well.
The club and the police have had their say about the minority of fans who've maybe said and shown things that...
Look, it's a...
What would you say to them?
It's an emotional time, you know. We, from our point of view, we've only got a debt of gratitude for what Brendan achieved here. He's left an unbelievable legacy, one of the greatest managers the club's ever had. But we move on now, you know. I understand the frustrations at times, and things can be said in the heat of the moment that they regret later on, but in time I think they look back on Brendan's period as remarkable, really.
And do you expect actually and deserve a warm welcome from the fans?
I don't know if I deserve it, Gary, but I'd like it. It'd be nice. You know, we had a great relationship with the Hibs public for the 2.5 years I was there. I had a great time and really enjoyed myself.
Would you like to see Brendan be welcomed back by the club one day in future, then whatever feelings at the moment sort of die down?
Yeah, I'm sure Brendan would like that as well.
Neil, you said that in 4.5 years it's evolved significantly. Can you give us a couple of examples of striking differences from
just
when you were here?
The technology, you know, the redevelopment of the training ground, the pitches, you know, it's all, you know, gone forward, and it's an excellent facility. We have a lot of meetings, which I'm not used to, but sort of getting my head around that as well. But in the main, it's, yeah, I mean, the technology for analysis and what's at the disposal for the players is top class.
You say meetings, outlet player meetings, just
staff meetings, and other Kenny meetings as well.
Sure. What can you tell us in terms of injury updates? We asked about Callum and Ryan the other day. What's the time scale for them?
It'll be a few weeks yet, you know. We've 11 out injured at the minute. So we'll be sorted out with Dedrick. He's all right. Hopefully should be okay. We'll give him 24 hours. Should be fine. And the squad will be basically what it was for Wednesday night.
In Champs, he's still a while away?
No, he's not a while away. Hopefully we get him out on the grass on Monday. And, you know, that shouldn't be taking too long then to get fit.
Tom Rogic?
So. Tom will be a few weeks, yeah. And Callum a few weeks as well.
So Filip Benkovic was back out. When do you hope to have him?
Maybe a fortnight.
So you've
basically
got two or three key players.
I've got a lot of key players, Ramon, trust me. I haven't even mentioned Ryan Christie yet. He's another one.
Sure, I meant in terms of when you're looking ahead, you've got the international break next month. And
that might give us a bit of time to get them out on the training ground and get them up the speed and condition. So obviously I'll look forward to that as well. It'll be a great, you know, boost for the squad. But the players I have at my disposal are top quality and fantastic. And they showed all that on Wednesday night.
Neil, you spoke after the game on Wednesday night about Celtic sort of inviting pressure upon ourselves in the wrong areas of the pitch. Hibs are a team that have always liked to press us high up the pitch. Against teams like Hibs and Hearts on Wednesday in the first half, who can press as well. I know you don't want to change much, but would you like to maybe change the way that the team looked to build the ball out from the back?
No, not really. Decision making, I'd like them to change, you know. Making the right decision. If we are getting pressed, then you might have to play through the press rather than play in front of the press. So look, the players are aware of that. People are saying I'm going to stop us playing out from the back. I'm not. I'm just going to stop us from trying to put ourselves under unnecessary pressure when we don't need to.
So I'm sorry if I'm going over old ground here and saying stuff that you've already heard. However, with everything that's been going on in the last 2 weeks, or last 10 days, week even, week's a long time in Scottish football, isn't it? I thought, get together the Lennon audio, and then for those who listened to the By The Bin podcast, fine. For those who didn't and have maybe seen stuff online, I don't know. I seem to be less agitated about Brendan Rodgers' departure than some people are. Certainly, I've not even seen the video, but those people who are singing in a pub, I mean, come on, get a life. What sort of human being sings a song about wishing the death on another human being? I mean, that's just in general, at games and anything. Why would you sing hate-filled songs about wanting somebody to die? It's just beyond me. But particularly a manager who, despite everything, brought us 7 out of 7 trophies in his time here and brought us the invincible season. And I think possibly the reason why I'm a bit more accepting and sanguine about it is because it was through the course of last summer that I realised he would not be our manager for next season, and there was a good chance he'd be leaving before this season was out. In fact, I was quite down in August, September about our football because it wasn't good. If you look at the league table, the reason we are only 8 points ahead of where we were last season is because of the start to the season when things were going off. So here is what, and this is the other thing that I said in on the By The Men podcast. One of the challenges, and people become so vitriolic, when I first went on this, I contacted Eddie Pearson, Glenn Tim, as he was known at the time, when he was doing the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, because I heard two separate, unconnected people who would know, because of their situation and who they knew and business stuff like that, that Martin O'Neill was off. And it was to do with his wife's health, and he'd be leaving and he wouldn't be going to a specific job. And that was in the January before he left. And if you look back, the E-Tim's Rumour Mill had it in the February that Martin O'Neill was off. It was the days before mass social media coverage, and it was the days before the press just took up fan media articles and ran with them. So I didn't really get much out there. And it wasn't me trying to be a smart arse or anything like that. It was, I'd heard these two things. I contacted Glenn Timtim, Eddie Pearson, and said, by the way, I've heard this and I think it's true. And he put it in the rumour mill. And then Martin O'Neill, it became a big major headline in the May when Martin O'Neill was leaving. But if you look back, February of that year, the E-Tim's rumour mill had it first. So the principle is, these things like Twitter and doing this podcast, Twitter I saw is what would now be like a WhatsApp group, a group of people, like-minded people who, if I hear a bit of chat, I'll say to you, I've got no particular agenda about it. And if you hear a bit of chat, you say to me. And the podcast itself was designed to be like a group of Celtic fans down the pub chatting, and you can listen to it instead of listening to Billy Dodds or whoever on Radio Scotland. That was the idea behind it. And that is still the idea behind it. The problem is other people see it differently. And I suppose there are some websites who carry advertising and various other things, and I'm not criticising them for doing it because it costs us about £1,000 a year to do this. But the downside of that is one, and it's the reason why we've shied away from ever doing advertising and pay stuff, because the minute you pay and advertising whatever, as a provider, I would start to feel obligated. We, you know, through work circumstances, we've not done as many podcasts this year. But if I was being paid by somebody and getting advertising from somebody to provide podcasts, I would feel obliged to do more for podcasts. And if we were getting advertising from our site, I would feel obliged to our advertisers to get people to read our site. And that then just starts pushing you towards doing things for getting hits and clicks. And so the thing that always baffles me when people... I have a really nice life, I have a great life and a great family, and so the requirement to be validated by how many people are clicking on my Twitter feed or Facebook or whatever is just a baffling concept to me. But for some people, that is how they validate their life and how they judge themselves in the modern world, and so they then perceive that on other people. It's the only explanation I can think of as to why people get so agitated when someone like me goes on and says, by the way, I've heard this. I'm not getting any benefit from that personally or anything. But the one thing that does happen when you do this podcast, and as you know, this is our 14th season, and as we sort of tongue-in-cheek brag about, it's the world's longest-running football fans podcast, you therefore start to engage with journalists, you engage with people in clubs, you engage with people in football, you get gossip and rumours from fans who send you stuff, and you start to work out who's pretty switched on and knows people, who doesn't. You know, I personally, through, you know, work 4 or 5 years ago, happened to have the same corporate advisors in my business that Rangers had. So by complete chance, I knew stuff. It was completely random about that former club. So anyway, you get stuff and you hear stuff. So through the course of the summer, and sorry for the nature of this monologue, but through the course of the summer, everything seemed to be hunky-dory. We were talking about spending money on Edouard at £9 million, Pacini at £8.5 million. And then all of a sudden, that was in May, June time. And then all of a sudden in July time, Brendan was talking very pissed offly with the press around Champions League qualifier games. And part of that was me thinking that he was just, you know, like anybody when they're under stress, they're slightly more agitable. And partly I wondered if he was maybe getting his retaliation in first because of the poor transfer window where we hadn't actually, after Edouard, we hadn't followed through. We tried to sign a right back for £8.5 million and then don't sign any right back at all, etc., etc. But it did puzzle me as to why we were talking about spending money. And then all of a sudden, we weren't actually spending the money. Now, some people would see that as that's just because of the tight board. I thought there was more to it than that. And then I heard that Brendan had spoken to clubs. So from separate people, a couple of separate people I heard, Brendan has spoken to a couple of clubs about leaving. From somebody else random, Brendan has done something in the summer which is really, really agitated, aggravated the board to the extent where if he wasn't a double treble winning manager, they'd probably have severed the relationship and moved him on. From somebody completely separately again, I heard Brendan has spoken to a player and suggested to that player that he would take him with him to the club that he was moving to. Then separately, I heard Brendan was interested in the Leicester job. Leicester were thinking of getting rid of Puel and thinking of moving him for Brendan. I then went and did some Googling for that. And if you looked in the Midlands press at that time, there was chat. And the day that always sticks in my head, 25th of June 2018, was one of the Midlands papers saying that Leicester have ended their interest in Brendan Rodgers and are going to stick with Puel. So at that point, I put 2-2-2-2-2 together and came up with Brendan wanted to take a player with him to Leicester. He was talking about that to Leicester. The Celtic board found out about it, and that was a major event. But then I found out that Brendan had a job offer from China and had wanted to take it. So the final piece of the jigsaw in all of that to me was when Moussa Dembele came out and said Brendan had told him not to take a club, had wanted to take him, and was talking about taking him to China. So all of that, 2-2-2-2-2 together, came up with, rah, it wasn't Leicester, it was a Chinese club. Brendan was going to go to a Chinese club. The board found out about it, and the board found out that he was trying to unsettle and take a player with him. Actually, the initial player that I thought it was Callum McGregor, but it ended up being Moussa Dembele. All of that, allied to people saying to me things like, you know, Brendan's not quite what he's saying he is. I spoke with someone who'd met somebody senior at Liverpool who had said, you know, Brendan is a fantastic coach and a brilliant manager. And the exact quote I got was, but he's got more faces than Big Ben. All of that together. Then at the time of the Champions League games, Brendan was quite openly criticising the club. And then when Chris McLaughlin came on Radio Scotland and started, I understand the board think this about Brendan and I understand the board think that about Brendan, I thought, right, okay, so the relationship is completely broken down here because Brendan is criticising the club and the board are briefing against Brendan to their favourite guy and Chris McLaughlin. This is not good. And then separately from people, I mean, I got a text message, two text messages from unconnected people who would know, who said to me in August, I wish the fans would stop singing Brendan Rodgers is here for 10-0 because he's not. All that together. I then went in the Buy the Bin podcast and said that, but of course it was counteracting what people wanted to believe, and the fact that we hadn't spent money in the summer, well, that was just the norm because our tight-fisted club never spend money, so it fitted with people's agenda, and I was just defending Peter Lawwell, and that's how I got the free interview and all that shite. So that is where it came from. But the other thing that I was hearing at exactly the same time is, as I say about the text message, quite a number of people said, Brendan is definitely not here. He's leaving when he can. And the fact that he spoke to the Chinese club and Leicester in the summer, that was just confirmation of it. So actually in August, September, I was quite down because I thought Brendan was leaving then. And our performances seemed to suggest that he wasn't interested. Then there was the chat. A couple of people had this as gossip, and I heard it as well, that Brendan and Peter and Dermot had had a sit-down head-to-head, and it was agreed that Brendan would stay, would grit his teeth, he would stop whinging about the transfer window. If he was asked about the transfer window, he would say, well, it wasn't perfect, but we move on, and we've got a season to plan for. And from that point on, round about September, end of September, when that story came out, if you look at our performances and form, with the odd blip against Hibs and against Rangers, we've been great. Back to the football of the first season of Brendan. And so, for me, actually the concerning time was I thought he might use the winter break to leave. And when he didn't, I thought he's definitely staying to the end of the season. So in all of that, the most disappointing thing was that he decided to leave when he left. Having said all of that, the other thing that since then I've spoken to a couple of people who gave me the stuff in the summer, who've said things like, where they noticed a mood change in Brendan was when he didn't get on the Arsenal 8-man list. I understand Brendan was offered a job in the English Premiership at the end of the first season, and he turned it down on the premise of, why would I leave Celtic to go to a club that wasn't in the top six? However, when the Arsenal job came up, and by all accounts he didn't expect to get it, but he did expect to be on the 8-man shortlist, and he wasn't on the 8-man shortlist. When that came around, I am told that's when his mood changed, and that coincided with speaking to the Chinese club and Leicester. And the other thing that I am led to believe got timing slightly wrong, because as I've said earlier, this is me putting two and two together, knowing some facts and trying to join up the dots. The Chinese job offer came while we were in the middle of spending money, and it came like an utter bombshell to the Celtic board, and came in the pro and Brendan then said that he, if he was going to stay, needed a bigger transfer budget. And I am then led to believe, which might explain the September stuff, that that was the point where Dermot Desmond said, well, if you want to leave, you can go. And that was last summer. I'm not having somebody here who doesn't want to be here. Brendan then went back to the Chinese people and the offer wasn't quite as firm as they thought. A bit like the £13 million Morelos bid not being quite this chat, but it's not as firm as you think. And that's what I was told was the big thing. And actually, it was Peter Lawwell who persuaded Dermot that we weren't in a position to change manager. We hadn't been preparing for a change of manager. We had no candidates out there. Plus, we were hardly going to go out in the press and badmouth Brendan. And so it's just going to be an utterly catastrophic PR exercise. And commercially, that would be very damaging. So Dermot agreed not to move him on. But it was agreed that we wouldn't be spending money on him. Hence the summer transfer window. Now, you can believe that or not. I'm just telling you what I've been told. But it did, if you listen to the By The Win podcast back in September, August time of last year, I did say I expected the January transfer window to be full of loans. And if it was, it would reconfirm where we are. With regards to his departure, I really don't know any gossip or too much gossip about that. I suspect with everything I've just described, the minute Puel was fired, we kicked into action expectations that Brendan might go, might explain how Neil Lennon was so quickly put in place. I do know that Leicester interviewed Benitez and Rodgers the week before, last at the latest, or earliest, whichever way, you know, in terms of closest to where we are just now. The person I know who knows someone at Leicester said that person marginally preferred Benitez. I don't know if it was a board decision, I just know one person marginally preferred Benitez over Rodgers. However, the thing about it was that Benitez refused to do a Brendan and refused to leave Newcastle until the end of the season, whereas Brendan had made it clear he would go now. Now, again, from the one thing I've heard about Brendan's thought process on the timing of his departure was that he believed he wasn't leaving us in the lurch because we've got 8 points clear with 11 games to go, and that our 11 games to go were Tynecastle away and then Aberdeen at home and then Dundee, then Rangers, then St Mirren and Livingston, whereas actually more or less Rangers play the top six and then play the top six again. So I think his thought process was that we'll be 8 points clear with an advantage over the competitive games. Again, don't shoot the messenger, that's just the chat. Neil Lennon's in as temporary in charge. Gary Parker will not be joining him ever, and John Kennedy will have quite an important role as assistant manager going forward. So that's all the chat I know. Whether he's manager next season, I think he's probably got, it's his to lose, I think is probably the easiest way to describe it. Anyway, enough of that. His timing of his departure, not great. His subsequent decision to go to the press yesterday for today's papers to try and not get such negative feedback, that's his choice. As I say, I'm not quite as angry as other people because I was resigned to this back in the summer. That was when it was clear that he was leaving to me. I really do think at some point we will look back and say he left like an arsehole, but he had the invincible season and we won 7 trophies and it was a key part to 10, 11, 12, 13 or whatever it is we get to. Anyway, we've now got Neil Lennon in charge. We've got a game this afternoon against Hibs to take us to the semi-final of the Scottish Cup and almost towards a holy trinity of trebles. Hope you enjoy the podcast. As I say, we'll be recording one next week. This is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Oh, and sorry for making this sound like some sort of monologue at the end of an American sitcom, some moralistic monologue at the end of an American sitcom. Just I didn't have time to pull people together to do that, to then get people on the podcast for me to then have a 20-minute chat about my own opinion. So this is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night.